Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is the 24th of Rajab, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 24th of January, 2025. And as you know, Jumu'ah is with Mufti Muhammad Aku Hafidhahullah. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu alaikum, barakallahu
alaikum. Mufti Saab, all well on your side?
Allah's mercy. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah for the opportunity.
Alhamdulillah. Where's Mufti Saab going to be today for Jumu'ah?
No, alhamdulillah, yeah. Allah's
Newcastle.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, today, we just got a few days left for this month of Rajab, revered month. Mufti Saab, what do you have to share with us?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi bi-rahmati da'i ar-Rahman ar-Rahimeen. One amazing person that actually passed away in this month was none other than a man who Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had foreseen. He passed away Rajab 101 in accordance to January 720. So it was the month Rajab where he left this world. But I want to rewind and mention a little bit about his life and where it all started. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu one day saw a very ajeeb dream. When he got up, he was asking, who is the Ashaj from the Banu Umayyah? So Ashaj means someone who has an injury, a wound on the forehead. And Hazrat Umar saw this dream where this Ashaj from the Banu Umayyah will be from the offspring of Hazrat Umar, and he would rule and guide people and rule over the people with the justice of Hazrat Umar. Anyway, from all Hazrat Umar's children, they all wondered and hoped that maybe one of their offspring would be that prophecy or that vision, the fulfillment of that vision of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Even some historical reports actually mention that it was hoped that Salim would be that person, because Hazrat Salim was the son of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, and he looked just like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Where it started was, this person that we're going to mention, Hazrat Umar used to patrol at night, and he would go into the different areas, helping people, protecting people, supporting people, guiding people, feeding people. And imagine, he is the Khalifa of the entire Muslim world, but he is making khidmah. That was Hazrat Umar, making khidmah of the people. One night, he was patrolling, and after some time, he was tired, exhausted, and he reclines on a wall. And somehow he overheard a conversation. What was happening? A conversation between a mother and her daughter, where the mother instructs the daughter, add water, this is at night, add water to our container and our buckets of milk, so that when we sell, we'll get more for the amount of milk that we have. So the daughter responded that, Ma, sell it as is, we'll get blessing, because Hazrat Umar's announcer announced that do not sell milk mixed with water, deceiving the people. If you're doing it for sale, if you're using it for usage, it's a different case. So the mother actually says, but just do what I'm telling you. Where's Umar here? He doesn't know. So the child responded, Umar might not know, but Allah is seeing and Allah knows. Hazrat Umar happened to overhear this conversation. He then sends out information, sent Aslam to find out about the family. They find that this lady had been widowed, and long ago her child had been orphaned, and now she was of marriageable age. Hazrat Umar gathered his children and he asked them, who of you would want to marry a righteous girl who bears the consciousness of Allah in her? And his sons weren't ready, but Asim says, Father, I would wed this girl. And Hazrat Umar takes him, and they meet the family. And when the couple see each other, according to the Sharia, the teachings of Islam, they put forward a proposal. Imagine, subhanAllah. From there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them the children, and one of the children was Layla bint Asim, Hazrat Asim's daughter Layla. Some years later, what happens to Layla is Abdul Aziz proposes for Hazrat Asim's daughter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's granddaughter. And Abdul Aziz, who's from the Banu Umayyah family, Abdul Aziz bin Marwan bin Hakam, he proposes for Hazrat Umar's granddaughter, and alhamdulillah, they get married. Interestingly, sometime later, it was the year 63 Hijri, when they had a child, Umar. Umar was the child from that wedlock. Who's that? Layla, the daughter of Asim, and Abdul Aziz bin Marwan bin Hakam. And in that, at that time, it was the year 65 where Abdul Aziz became the governor of Egypt and he was with his family there and so forth. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz grows up. He learns from a very young age the different sciences to be learned, especially ilm, deen, Quran. One day, he went with his father and they were visiting a horse stable. And Hazrat Umar, this young Umar bin Abdul Aziz, loved bravery called furusiyah, horse riding, archery. And it so happened that in the stable, one of the horses there kicked him and it wounded his forehead severely. Anyway, they rushed home. His mother sees this, she gets startled. A knowledgeable person, a tabib, concerning this medicine, a doctor is called and he sees to Abdul Aziz's son, and as he treats the wound, and Abdul Aziz sees the forehead of his son and he remembers the dream of Hazrat Umar. So he's saying to his wife, you know, maybe Allah will accept your child to be the fulfillment of the dream of Hazrat Umar. And then we'll be very lucky. Anyway, Hazrat Umar continued with his studies of Quran, memorized the entire Quran from a very young age. He would read a lot of salah. He would cry a lot in his salah. And he would love to learn from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. He became an alim, a senior alim, a faqih, rare in his understanding and deep in his understanding. He was only about 20 years when he knew so much. When he was 22, then he proposed for his uncle's daughter, Fatima bint Abdul Malik. So Abdul Malik was actually the Khalifa of the time, Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So he's married to the Khalifa's daughter. When Abdul Malik passed away, the Khalifa was then Walid bin Abdul Malik. But Umar was a very just man because Abdul Malik appointed Walid and thereafter appointed Sulaiman. And there's some interesting reports that say that Abdul Malik appointed Walid and then wanted to appoint Umar, but Umar refused. Because Umar is the son of Abdul Aziz, and Abdul Aziz and Abdul Malik are brothers. Abdul Malik, Abdul Aziz are brothers. So Umar forfeited his right of being the Khalifa after his cousin Walid. So Walid was appointed with his brother Sulaiman. So one day Walid says to Umar, Walid was the Khalifa, what do you feel? I remove my brother Sulaiman and depose him from the Khilafah and I give the Khilafah to one of my children. So Umar says, but when we gave bay'ah to you, your brother Sulaiman was chosen already after you. So I won't be able to support you in something that is unjust. So anyway, Walid then desisted from his opinion. What happened then was, in Medina Munawwarah, the governor at the time's name was Hisham bin Ismail, who was really oppressive to the people. And when Umar bin Abdul Aziz mentioned this to the Khalifa says, I want you to be the governor of Medina Munawwarah. Umar bin Abdul Aziz refused that position as well. He says, no, I don't want to be a governor. I don't want leadership positions. He didn't want to rule. He wanted to remain a humble servant of Allah, helping and serving people and uplifting them. But Al-Walid insisted. So Umar says, but how can, you know, because I want to be kind to the people. I don't want to be cruel and harsh to the people. And I want to seek the assistance of the ulama. And when I collect the zakat, I want to spend the zakat on the people of that land. So he says, you know, I will not question you and I trust you. You do what you have to do. So Umar becomes the next governor of Medina Munawwara. When he comes to Medina Munawwara, he gathers the ulama and he sits with them. 10 of the great fuqaha of Medina Munawwara, the names are mentioned. Urwa bin Zubair, Qasim bin Muhammad, Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, and Kharij ibn Zaid, many of the senior ulama he gathered. He said, I invited you here so that Allah reward you and you can be supporters to trust. What I ask you is, if you see any injustice taking place or any wrong taking place, let's resolve it together. Let's actually solve the issue of the Ummah. And he then became the governor of Medina Munawwara and then Hijaz. And he became the best of the governors of his time. SubhanAllah. How amazing was his rule with justice, seeking the assistance of the ulama. And he would lead the prayer in Medina Munawwara. Even Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu would perform salah behind Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. And Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said, this governor, his salah is just like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's salah. The people of Hijaz, Muqaddas, loved Umar bin Abdul Aziz abundantly. And then a time came where it was the year 92 Hijri for some reason. He couldn't participate in injustice and he was removed from governorship and he returned to the lands of Sham. But he was very close to Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. And Sulaiman becomes the next Khalifa after Al-Walid. Walid and Sulaiman were brothers. So Sulaiman was also a very just Khalifa. He tried very hard to take Islam into Constantinople because he wanted the fulfillment of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this city, and that was actually at the time the most advanced, the most fortified city in the entire globe, that was Constantinople. And Sulaiman heard from the ulama that the person who will conquer the city bears the name of a messenger of Allah. So he tried very hard to take this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in that he didn't manage. It was not conquered in his time, but some masajid were built in that region, in that area, near the Roman lands, or near those territories. But then Sulaiman also felt that maybe he should appoint his son to rule after him. But he had an alim who was a close friend of his, whose name was Raja bin Haywa. We find those leaders who took mashura from ulama went very far in life. So he's asking Raja, what do you feel? Who should rule after me? What do you opine? So Raja says, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you tell me what you feel. Tell me the names you are thinking about and I can maybe agree or tell you my opinion to differ. So he started mentioning his sons. So Raja mentioned to him, what would save a man before Allah is when he chooses over the people a just ruler. So what do you feel then, Raja? Who? Raja says, you say. When Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik rahimahullah mentioned Umar, Raja then latched onto it and said, you will not find a better man. SubhanAllah. We learn a very pertinent lesson. Keeping ta'alluq with ulama, taking good advice, making mashura with pious people. People who won't only agree with everything we say, but people who will advise us when we're wrong. This is a great ni'mah of Allah. Sadly, many a time, when people tell us when we're wrong, we want to distance ourselves from those people. Hazrat Umar used to actually make dua. Ya Allah, that person who comes to me and corrects me and brings my mistake to me, Ya Allah, you give him your special blessing and mercy. SubhanAllah. If there's someone to give us advice, and Allah give us tawfiq to give people, to take advice, and Allah give us tawfiq to accept advice when we given, and Allah give us tawfiq also to correct people in the correct manner, because even the mannerism of correcting people is clear in the books of our history, how to correct people, how to privately advise them, how to lovingly explain to them the better manner, what is the right thing to do. They imagine, this alim, Raja bin Haywa rahimahullah, gives advice to Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. Sulaiman was in the path of Allah, when he was passing away. Anyway, he's taken to the palace of that region and he's dictating his will. And Raja is writing it down and he then comes out of the room and Suleiman was very, very ill. There were a few of the brothers of Suleiman who wanted this position after him. But Allahu Akbar, none of them had access to Suleiman. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who didn't want it, he was worried that Suleiman will appoint him, will end up appointing him. Umar didn't want it, but he was also not allowed to meet Suleiman at the last. But luckily, there was a righteous man by the side of Suleiman. And then he gathered the people in the Jami' Masjid of Dimashq, saying to them, that, are you prepared to accept the will and the bequest of the Khalifa? And they all agreed. And then he read out the letter as Suleiman passed away and left this world, rahimahullah. Then Raja bin Haywa read the letter to the entire congregation. Everyone was elated except Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He was finished. He fell down and he was worried. He then took the minbar and he said that I allow you to absorb me of this responsibility. If you are not happy with me, I will willingly hand it over to you and we will choose who is best for the Ummah. He was not a man who wanted position. Subhanallah. And everyone in one voice responded that no, we will never take back the bay'ah. We have given you our bay'ah because we have given bay'ah to the decision of the previous Khalifa and you are our Khalifa. And that was Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, the Khalifa of the entire Muslim world. And this was the vision of Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. And he now presented his address. What an amazing address was that of Hazrat Umar, seeking the assistance of people to uphold justice, to bring alive deen, to bring alive justice. What an amazing advice and address he gave, that the entire masjid were brought to tears after the words of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Then when he was on his way to his home, they brought to him the royal entourage, the royal conveyance of the Khalifa. He said, no, this is not what I need. I don't need this. And he rode on his simple, ordinary conveyance. And alhamdulillah, he then wanted to rest. But his son's name was also Abdul Malik. His son said to him, father, how can you go to rest when there's so many people who have been facing so much of injustices? You have to give back the rights of the oppressed. And subhanallah, and his son would advise him and he took the advice. And like that, he ruled his period of rule with such amazing governance of justice and integrity. And imagine such a man. Someone is giving him advice. His son is giving him advice. He takes the advice. What an amazing quality is to give advice. And what a more amazing quality is to accept advice when we are given advice. And even to correct, to accept corrections when we are wrong. That's a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar bin Abdul Aziz led the ummah with such precision, with such caution. He didn't allow himself to take anything extra, despite him being the Khalifa, Allahu Akbar. But then even his wife, she found it hard and he allowed her. He says, I know you grew up in royalty. Your father, your brother was the previous Khalifa. Your father was prior to that. But I'm a person who has chosen the afterlife. I don't have that extra and I'm not prepared to take it from the Baytul Mal. If you want, I can absorb you of this responsibility. I can send you away with respect and honor. She said, never, never will I leave you. And subhanallah, the couple together strove for Allah, led the people with justice, subhanallah. And he would say to the people who came to him, whoever wants to be with me in my ministry, falyashabna, you can accompany me. But there's five conditions and five demands I have of you. Otherwise, I wouldn't prefer you being near me. Number one, if you know of anyone who has a need and I can fulfill it, make sure you mention this to me. Number two, وَيُعِينُنَا عَلَى الْخَيْرِ بِجُهْدِهِ, exert yourself in helping us in good works. Number three, guide us to other good deeds that we don't know about. وَيَدُلُّنَا مِنَ الْخَيْرِ عَلَى مَا لَا نَهْتَدِي إِلَيْهِ. Number four, when you are with us, don't backbite other people. وَلَا يَغْتَابَنَّ عِنْدَنَا أَحَدٍ. Don't speak bad about people unraveling their private lives and secrecies that they have. Don't backbite people in my company. And number five, وَلَا يَعْرِبَنَّ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Let's not indulge and engage in what is not beneficial or doesn't concern us. So basically what he's saying is we don't want backbiting, but wherever we can help people, assist people, support people, teach people, improve, that's what we want. Prior to this, it was a time where if a poet praised a ruler, he would get, you know, a great amount of wealth. But when people came to Umar, he would say to them, I don't have that amount of money to give you, and I can't take from the Baytul Mal to give you. That was Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. One of his amazing khutbahs, وَلَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّكُمْ لَمْ تُخْلَقُوا عَبَاسًا وَلَنْ تُتْرَكُوا سُدًا وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَعَادًا يَنْزِلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ لِلْحُكْمِ فِيكُمْ وَالْفَصْلِ بَيْنَكُمْ فَخَابَ وَخَسِرَ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَحُرِمَ جَنَّةً عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْمَنُ غَدًا إِلَّا مَنْ حَذِرَ الْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَخَافَ وَبَانَ بَاعَ ثَانِيًا بِبَاقٍ وَنَافِذًا بِمَا لَا نَفَادَ لَهُ وَقَلِيلًا بِكَثِيرٍ. As he continues, he says, O humanity, don't you know that we're not here in vain? We're not created in vain. We have a place to return to where Allah will judge between us. Loss is the lot of he who leaves this world without understanding his purpose. He will be deprived of such a vast paradise. Don't you know, if we don't have consciousness of Allah and caution in the world today, we won't be safe tomorrow. If we don't sell this world in lieu of purchasing the afterlife, if we don't give up of a lot of what perishes for what never perishes, if we don't give up this little for what is abundant, how will we find success? Don't we know that we're living in a time, but before us there were others living here. We all are going back. Don't we realize that every day you and all of us are ushering people leaving this world, we are ushering them to the graveyard. ثم إنكم في كل يوم تشيعون غاديا رائحا إلى الله لا يرجع. Those who have gone never come back. Have you met any one of them? None of them have returned. They all are put into a pit inside this earth. There's no pillows there. There's no comfortable cushion there. He leaves his beloveds. He is only faced with soil and dust and reckoning, and he's answerable for his actions. He's in need of what he invested that side. He doesn't need the things of this world there. Fear Allah before the day of reckoning. Be conscious of death before its arrival. Things like that, subhanAllah, amazing with his words. Imagine the consciousness of Allah. At night, even if he was doing work and he needed to fill oil in his lantern, he would get up and do it himself. He didn't call a servant. Or even on one occasion, Raja bin Haywa, who was very close to him, he was an alim. See, he was very close to ulama and pious people. And this is what we find of the successful people of the past, when they were close to pious people. Let us take that lesson. Ramadan is coming. Rajab is ending. Let us keep the company of the pious. Let us join pious people. There's a program of dhikr. Let's be part and parcel. The brothers are sitting and making mashura, worrying how can humanity get hidayah. Sit there. Join. Don't feel, oh, that's not for me. What will I say? You don't have to say anything. Sit and learn. And what's amazing is brothers are sitting in concern for one person. If somebody's sick, they'll discuss, okay, you go visit that person. Somebody is a young man, they'll discuss how we can get that young man accepted for Allah's deen. It's an amazing environment to sit for the fikr, sit for the ta'aleem. There's ulama having a program. Go participate, learn. If there's an opportunity to make khidmah of ulama, to take a certain alim to a certain venue, go and mashallah, use the resources Allah has given you. That's keeping the company of the pious. If there's an opportunity to feed ulama, to feed guests, to feed jamaats, to feed pious people, seize the opportunity. Let's take that lesson from here and ask them, advise us, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Am I doing it right? Correct me. And let's learn that when we are corrected, It is an opportunity Allah is giving us to become better people. It doesn't mean we're getting lower or it's below our self-esteem. No, there's nothing wrong to be corrected. But we should take the advice. And also, let's take advice when people give. And also, when we correct others, let's do it in the correct manner. Let's not disgrace people. Let's do it in a polite manner. Let's do it in a kind manner, in a loving tone, even with our own children. In a private manner, call them, acknowledge the good of our child. And say, you know, you're doing so many wonderful things, but you know, my child, I love you so much. There's one thing, if we take it out of our life, it will be so much better. Come, we'll help each other. And subhanAllah, that young man will take it to heart. You meet a youngster in the masjid also, or somewhere in the street also, advise him lovingly. Call him one side, make his ikram, get him a cup of coffee, get him a milkshake. Tell him, son, you're such a good boy. You have so much of potential. So let's take advice when we're given advice. And my respected, beloved Ummah, let's give advice in the Sunnah manner. And I'll finish with the incident of Hazrat Abu Darda when he was passing youth condemning one young boy. He stopped them from condemning him. But they said to him, but don't you see the wrong in this boy? He says, I see that. But they said, why don't you hate him then? Shouldn't you be hating him? He says, no. As for his action, that is what I hate. But he is my brother. That young man sees our Hazrat Abu Darda dealt with the situation. He changed his life and said, oh, Hazrat Abu Darda, can I join you for the rest of my life? Allah give us tawfiq to bring a change. Each one can do something. There's hope in the ummah. This ummah of our beloved is really special. There's a lot of hope. I'll finish with this hadith. Our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my ummah is like rain. Rain is goodness, has goodness in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. Goodness keeps on propping up, coming up in my ummah forever and ever. There's too much of khair in this beautiful ummah of the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved said, he who says humanity is ruined and destroyed, he's actually destroyed them. Have hope, give hope. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, that was Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab Hafidhullah from us in the team. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.